Just if you have your Bible with you, if you keep it open at 2 Corinthians and chapter 4, the place where Joel read from. Just while you're turning to that, it was certainly for my encouragement reading my daily reading this morning, which this year I'm doing daily light. And one of the verses in the daily reading was 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. So to say I was happy about that was an understatement. But certainly I was very happy that the Lord has definitely guided me to this portion of Scripture. It's verses 6 and 7 that we're going to really focus on this evening, but we will look elsewhere as well. So just I'll recap those verses, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So with the Lord's word open, we'll just pray and we'll ask the Lord even for his blessing and his help upon his word this evening. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that we can come to thee in the precious and worthy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, Lord, that there is no name higher than his. We thank thee, Lord, that his name is high over all. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art worthy of our praise. And Lord, we thank thee that, Lord, thou art the one true and living God, the God who is sovereign, the God who is all-powerful and almighty, the God who is eternal, and the God, Lord, whom we can look to this evening and depend upon and place our trust in. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you've never let us down. And we thank you, Lord, that we can look to thee this evening, Lord, for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, for the Holy Spirit even to work in the hearts and lives, even of those who are gathered. Lord, we commit this meeting to thee. We pray, Lord, that above all things, it will be a meeting with the Lord himself. And Lord, thou wilt be here. Thou wilt be in the midst. And Father, I pray, Lord, that thy speaking voice will be heard in every heart. Bring conviction of sin. Bring conversion to Christ, we pray. And grant, Lord, that thy great name would be honored, uplifted, and glorified, that we would make much of the Lord Jesus and much of the cross. We ask it in the Savior's name. Amen. Amen. Whenever I say the word treasure, what thoughts come into your mind? Perhaps it's a pirate adventure on the high seas. Perhaps whenever I say the word treasure, you have this picture in your mind of some explorers on a desert island, and they're following the instructions on their map until they come to the axe which marks the spot. And there they dig until they uncover a wooden chest. And inside the chest, when they open it up, they find gold and silver and jewels. And can you imagine them rejoicing over their newfound wealth and hear them cheer? We're rich, we're rich. Now in verse 7 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read the word treasure. We read, but we have this treasure. And so it's that word treasure that we want to look at this evening. And as we look at these verses, first of all, we want to identify what this treasure is that the Apostle Paul is referring to. Now, it's not referring to gold or silver or jewels. It's referring to something of infinitely greater value. It refers to a knowledge of something, or should I say, a knowledge of someone. And the answer is found to what this treasure is referring to right at the end of verse 6. It says, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And as I thought about that phrase, my mind turned to that event, which you can read about in Matthew chapter 17, when the Lord Jesus took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and brought them up into an high mountain apart. And the Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus was transfigured before them. In other words, his appearance was transformed. In fact, you can read there the phrase that it says that his face did shine as the sun. And that day, those disciples got a wonderful insight into who Jesus really is. The veil of his humanity was, as it were, temporarily removed, and the splendor of his divine person was revealed. No wonder the writer to the Hebrews speaks of the Lord Jesus in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. So the treasure in view here is not knowing about God, but actually knowing God through the person of Jesus Christ. And so, my friend, if you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you know the one who is the very embodiment of the person and glory of God. You possess a knowledge and a treasure of immeasurable worth. Can I ask you this evening, do you know the Lord? Is Jesus Christ your Savior? Do you have this treasure? So there was the treasure identified. And next we come to this treasure illustrated. In verse 6, the Apostle Paul explains how this knowledge of Christ is received by somebody when they are converted. And he not only likens this knowledge to treasure, but he also describes it as light. Again, look at the end, those closing words of verse 6. It says, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So in verse 6, Paul is talking about conversion. What it is to be converted. And he illustrates this using the first day of creation. Again, look at verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. And so we want to study this illustration that Paul has given here. So if you keep your finger there or your bookmark just there in your Bible, And turn back with me to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. I want you to keep in mind that this is day one of creation. And verse one we read, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." Now I want you to see from verse two the condition of the earth. And we want to compare it with the natural condition of the heart of man. We read there in verse 2, "And the earth was without form." And so I want you to see that it had the appearance of lacking in meaning or purpose. It had that appearance. And I wonder, is that you this evening? Are you somebody who is lacking in meaning or purpose? Are you someone who is searching for meaning and purpose in life? Have you ever asked yourself the question, what is life all about? Why am I here? Do you ever think about God? Do you ever ask yourself if you're in a right relationship with God? Are you living the way He wants you to live? Are you doing what He wants you to do? Or are you somebody who just meanders aimlessly through life, moving from one circumstance to the next? The earth was without form. But then we also read, the earth was without form and void. There was an emptiness about it. There wasn't any life. There was just deadness. And dear friend, man by nature is spiritually dead. In other words, by nature, we are cut off from God. We do not have spiritual life. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, we're described as being dead in trespasses and sins. And this happened as a result of the fall. Do you remember what the Lord said to Adam when He warned him in the garden what would happen if he was to eat of the forbidden fruit? He said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." Now, Adam didn't immediately die physically after he ate of that fruit, but he did die spiritually. He was cut off from God by his sin. And physical death was to follow. So the earth was without form and void. And then we read, "And darkness was upon the face of the deep." Darkness. Do you know by nature man is in darkness morally? Dark, sinful thoughts. Dark, sinful words. Dark, sinful actions. Man by nature is in darkness morally. Oh, the darkness of rebelling against the holy God of heaven, our Creator, the one who gives us life and breath and all things. Oh, the darkness of transgressing and breaking God's holy law and commandments. Darkness morally. But man by nature is in darkness mentally as well. You can read in Ephesians chapter 4 verse 18 that by nature our understanding is darkened and our hearts are blind. In fact, the commentator Albert Barnes says, in all minds, by nature, there is deep ignorance of God, of His law and His requirements. And then on top of all this, I want you to think about the words that Joel read for us earlier on in that passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. And we read there about what Satan does. The God of this world, he blinds the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Satan doesn't want you to have this treasure. He wants to put a blindfold over your mind so that you do not see the truth and the reality of the gospel. He wants you to remain in your dead and dark condition and eventually see you end up in hell, that place which is known as the blackness of darkness forever. Now, if we were to stop there, it would all be gloom and doom. But look at the next words in verse 2. Genesis chapter 1, verse 2. We read, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. There's the Holy Spirit moving. The Spirit of God working. And then in verse 3, we read those words, and God said. There's God speaking. The Word of God spoken. And so when you have God's Spirit moving in His own reproving and regenerating power, and you have God's Word faithfully sounding, there can only be one outcome: light. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. What a picture of conversion this is. When a sinner, in their darkened condition, receives the light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Perhaps you're wondering, well, how can this experience happen to me? What do I need to do? Well, let's think of the Bible as a treasure map. And as you explore the scriptures and you follow the instructions to repent and believe, you will arrive at the location of the treasure. Now, it's not an axe that marks the spot, but it's a cross. It's the cross where Jesus Christ, the Son of God, finished the work necessary for our salvation. It's the cross where Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, paid the full price of our redemption with his own blood. It's the cross where Jesus Christ, the light of the world, went through the darkness of suffering. And he went through the darkness of sin bearing. And he went through the darkness of death. But I'm glad he came through the darkness and he came out the other side. Perhaps some of you here are familiar with that song, In Christ Alone. And there's some words in that song which came to mind. It says, there in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he arose. He rose again. And dear friend, if you will call upon the Lord to save you, you too will be able to rejoice because of the treasure that you have found, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure anyone could ever possess. You see, this treasure provides you with forgiveness of sins. This treasure provides you with cleansing for your soul. This treasure provides you with a right standing with God. This treasure provides you with the assurance of heaven. And you too will be able to sing, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there, by faith, I received my sight, and now I'm happy all the day. I wonder, will you seek this treasure? Then thirdly, I want you to think about the influence of this treasure. We're turning back to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 again. And in verse 7, we read these words, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So if you're here this evening and you are saved and you are a Christian and you've had that experience of being brought from darkness into God's marvelous light, then you are here likened to an earthen vessel. You possess this treasure. And God wants to use you to share this knowledge which you have received to the world around you. Now, the common reaction of someone who comes upon great wealth is finders keepers.
But God doesn't want us to keep this treasure to ourselves. Now, time doesn't permit me this evening to expand on what it is to be a vessel for the Lord. But I want to leave you with a quote by C.H. Spurgeon. He says, "He has filled us with a treasure with which we are to enrich the world. He has bestowed upon us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it is ours to reflect the light, to impart the knowledge, to manifest the glory, to point to the Savior's face, and to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ our Lord." So if you're a Christian, you can share what the Lord has done for you, what the Lord has given to you, in your personal witness, perhaps sharing a word of testimony to a friend or a neighbor or a work colleague. You can also share this knowledge as part of the witness of your church fellowship. Perhaps being and getting involved in some aspect of the work of God. The influence of this treasure. And then, in closing, perhaps there's someone here and you are concerned about what it will mean for you if you were to receive this treasure and the consequences involved in being a Christian. Well, let me turn you to a parable that the Lord Jesus spoke in Matthew chapter 13, verse 44, where the Lord Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." With those words in mind, can I say to you this evening, no matter what you end up parting with, no matter what the cost involved is, can I say it's worth it? It's worth it having this treasure. Nothing compares to it. Can I encourage you this evening? If you're not saved, to get digging and seek for this treasure of knowing God through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior.